it's such a hard musical to sing along to.
Yeah.
And you're like, and the whole time.
Oh, I love it.
Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, friends and fans, and welcome to Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about a few of our favourite things. I am your host, Helen Gould, one of the best Rusty Quillers, and today we're talking about musicals. And I'm clearly ecstatic to be joined by Liz, Lowry, and Sharmini. We're going to introduce ourselves alphabetically, starting with Liz. So, Elizabeth, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
So my pronouns are she, her, and I just loiter now. I loiter at Rusty Quill. Basically, for each year that you work, you get a half year's worth of loitering that you're allowed to do before you get booted out.
Ooh, nice.
So that's what I'm mostly up to. Yep.
Employment bonuses. Sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, Magna Sarcos, man, that was like 3 years or something, 5 seasons, some amount of time. I'm sure I've got at least another half a year left before they realise that I'm still hanging around, eating the biscuits, drinking Nico's tea.
Oh, that's where the hobnobs are going.
Yeah.
And Lowry, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
Hello, I'm Lowry. My pronouns are she, her, and I produce Enthusiasm and do do other things around Rusty Quill, a lot of different things. Something nice that I'm doing actually is making puzzles for Patreon at the moment. I'm really enjoying that.
Nice.
Yeah, logic puzzles. That's a little thing I'm doing.
Finally, that maths degree is really paying off.
It's really paying off.
I feel like having a maths degree and using it to make puzzles is the dream.
Do you know what? Yes.
Very valid life choice.
I don't use the maths degree at all in it, actually. But yeah, maybe I should incorporate it a bit more, make them a bit more difficult.
More maths puzzles.
Yay.
People love maths.
They do.
Famously. And Sharmini, can you give us your pronouns and tell us what you do?
Yeah, hi. So I use mostly she, her, and I'm pretty new to Rusty Quill. I've had some fun tabletop role-playing game times with Helen and Lowry before, and I'm kind of hoping maybe to have some more. But I also do some over with the RP Geeks, and we have a Dungeons and Dragons and science show where we put our science degrees to good use by explaining all the science that happens in our campaign, basically.
I love that.
So I also spend a lot of time doing that. Yeah.
Is your campaign just like archaeology? So each week it's like you dust off more like dust from something and then you like quietly glue it together, but you've got to roll for it to see how many shards you actually manage to get.
It's just a very calm game. That would be a lot more relaxing than, you know, flying through space and getting stabbed and shot at, which is in fact what happens. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I see.
Fair enough.
Do you end up trying to explain time travel?
We haven't had time travel yet, but our cover story for the game is that we're archaeologists, so we just never get to do any actual archaeology. That's very sad.
Oh, one day.
Archaeologists who are forced to become scientists.
The Harrison Ford method of archaeology.
Right. Well, we're going to get right into it, I think. We'll start at the beginning.
A very good place to start.
I mean, you deserve that. You deserve that.
First musical reference.
Oh, high five, Lowry.
It is a musical reference. Which one?
Sound of Music. Well,
in the beginning, we're talking about a few of our favorite things, Helen. Like, yes. You're dropping all the references.
I've never seen The Sound of Music.
You've never seen it.
You've never seen it.
What?
Amazing.
No, I've never seen it.
I mean, it's very long and there are a lot of points you're like, oh, it's the end. Oh, it's not. Okay, no, yeah. That's fine. We'll watch more.
I haven't seen it for many, many years. And I think a lot of the you know, musicals and films that I saw many, many years ago as a child, maybe it's best that I don't rewatch them.
Do you know what? I recently rewatched My Fair Lady, watched it over Christmas, and was just incandescent with rage. Like, oh my God, the way they're treating this woman is awful.
Oh yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
So
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We should probably say up top, many musicals do not have a great concept behind them, especially the older ones. Yeah. Like, My Fair Lady is sort of, you can only fall in love with someone if they are upper class or something along those lines.
It's, yeah. I mean, you know, it's an interesting story.
And yet, I really like The Street Where You Live.
Yeah, that's a lovely song.
It's like one of the most beautiful songs. Even though he's stalking her.
Mm-hmm.
As indicated by the title. And yet, the musicality of it is very nice.
I've just realised that I am going to struggle so much. One of my things that's quite annoying is that if you say a song, I will sing it. And I literally had to swallow that. Then I was like, no, Laurie, don't do it.
Go for it. This is the option.
No, don't worry. The only reason that I did not start singing that song was because I was also talking at the same time. And I have, as of yet, not figured out a way to talk and sing at the same time.
That would be the dream.
So my actual first question was going to be like, what was the first musical you saw?
Oh,
yeah, I know that. That's easy for me.
Oh, you do? Go ahead.
Oh, the one that I have very strong memories of, and I honestly don't think I saw anything before that, was Cats.
Really?
Aha.
Because coming from small town New Zealand, you just didn't get theatre and musicals and the such. And so I'm sure a Cats toured. And I mean, my mind was blown because I've basically never seen like a stage production. I'd seen very little stage productions and never really seen a musical live and never seen an enormous tire like just coming out of the sky. You're coming up. And I just remember being like blown away by like this, you know, that the staging could happen. So I have, yeah, very strong memories of going to see that and just thinking that it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen, I think, at that stage.
Have you seen the film?
Yes.
We don't have to talk about that, though.
We don't have to talk about it. I was just curious to know whether that was an equally transformative experience.
Just in a very different way.
I mean, people wanted to kick us out of the theatre because the group that I was with was enjoying it so much. There was a lot of people enjoying that film.
Oh, that's lovely.
There was one poor person in that audience who wanted to enjoy it in the more traditional way.
Oh.
Whereas we were enjoying it in the way that Cats can really be enjoyed, with much shouting and hollering and the such. You know when you watch something where you can see every decision where they thought they were making a right decision and it just ends up not working? And you're like, you can see the effort and it's just terrible.
I have not seen it.
I saw it.
And I'm okay with that.
I know, it's brilliant. You should go see it. You've got to see it with friends.
Mm.
Possibly a little bit on the schnapps and just enjoy it for what it is. Weird. Let's moving along.
But it's so weird. So the first musical you saw, Liz, was Cat.
Yeah.
Anyone else got any other takers?
All mine were sort of, the ones that stick in my memory was being in them in school and doing the school shows, which was definitely what got me obsessed, I think. Especially with musicals, there's something about sort of like hearing the songs over and over again and knowing them really well, that I tend to like things more the more and more I hear them. So yeah, all those shows we did. We did The King and I in year 8, and me and my best friend were little Siamese princesses. I'm going to not think back over any problematic elements of that, so no one point anything out, thank you. We had a great time. And I was like from school, basically. I was hooked on it.
Yeah. I was in an extracurricular drama club. I think one of my earliest memories of that is being in their production of Titty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh.
Wow.
Like, it was a kids' amateur dramatics society. Mostly I remember Truly Scrumptious.
Yeah.
I remember that being, that was my favourite song.
That's a lovely song.
Yeah. But my memories now, I don't remember being on stage. I remember the photographs of me on stage.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was that young.
So yeah.
Aww.
So that's the first musical I remember, but only vaguely.
I've learned something tonight because I've never seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and I always just thought it was like a comedy. I didn't realize it was a musical. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a musical comedy.
Yeah.
Very, very much a musical, yeah. Mm.
Do you not know what it's about, Liz?
Like there's a car that flies?
Yeah, it's a magic car.
It's a whole song about the car that flies, and they sing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
A very pleasing thing to sing with harmony.
Yeah.
And the car is magic and flies, and they end up in a different, like a different world or something.
Is it ever clarified where they are?
Yeah, they end up somewhere else, but like there's a king and there's this terrifying villain called the Child Snatcher.
What do you do? That doll.
She's a doll for some reason.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And the child catcher does what it says on the box and goes around stealing children for nefarious purposes. But I don't know whether he's going to kill them or like if he's just like child labor.
I don't think they specify, do they? Just because they're like, well, this is a nice musical, so let's not look too far into that. Let's just be like, he just steals them.
No, no one wants to know the answer.
Then why is he in there?
Why is he?
Basically, what 2023 season of Netflix, there is going to be an adaptation of this, which is the dark version.
Dark, gritty, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. I mean, it's already got all the dark.
Gritty, gritty, bang, bang.
Gritty, gritty, bang, bang. Yes, Laurie, yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a different film. That's a different film. That's not.
Is it? Oh, wait.
Yeah, that one's already out.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, but yeah, it sounds like it's ripe for adaptation.
Yeah.
So it's going to be coming out soon. So I'll get to see that version.
You can imagine like the weird like indie pop cover of like some breathy female vocalist going, oh, you chitty chitty bang, and like it's sinister music and like weird chord strikes and like the silhouette of a car slowly comes into. Anyway, sorry, we're doing a weird pitch now.
It writes itself.
It's like the Pinocchio song over the Ultron trailer. Right?
Yes, that's
really
what it is.
Slow and creepy, but with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? One of my favourite songs is from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Hushabye Mountain. Bloody love it. It's just so lovely. It's so lovely and gentle. I adore it.
Thanks for getting us back on track.
Oh, hey, you're welcome. I don't remember my first musical that I saw, but I think it was probably an operetta because my mum did a lot of amateur dramatics and then I joined her in doing them as well. And she started by doing operettas and then that company slowly evolved into doing musicals.
So many of them do.
Yeah.
As the audience for Gilbert and Sullivan just gets older and older and everyone's like, oh, let's just do a proper musical now.
Yeah.
It all gets really expensive.
I literally have the entire works of Gilbert and Sullivan over there.
Oh my God.
They have a place in my heart. So I think the first one I vaguely remember is Naughty Marietta, because I remember my mum used to sing me to sleep with the alto lines while she was practicing, which is really sweet.
That's super cute.
Yeah, the first musical, I remember the musical I heard that made me go, I actually might pursue acting and musicals, and it was Wicked.
Oh,
yeah. Which is quite basic, but I remember listening to it and just being like, oh my God, I love this.
Wicked is great. Wicked, for me, was also like one of the first ones where I'm like, this is amazing. It was my favourite musical for a long time. It's just so solid. It's really good.
Except for two songs you have to skip. But the rest of them, bangers all the way through.
When did it come out?
I guess I was like early 20s. So, oh God, like 15, 16 years ago, maybe? I don't know.
Wow. For some reason, I thought it was so much more recent than that.
Yeah. 2003, apparently.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, so 19 years ago.
Oh, no.
Don't look too hard at it. Don't fall into the pit.
Yeah. We're still on the noughties, right? It's like 2008 now. Is that right?
Yeah, 10 years ago, 2003. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's all fine. Okay. We've already alluded to this, but I have a feeling that some of us, in fact, do sing and or dance and or perform ourselves in terms of musicals. So I would like to hear where we started in terms of that. Because I was doing it since I was in the single digits.
Wow. I was doing it single digits in terms of, so like in school we'd have, I don't know if I've brought this up on Enthusiasm before, but the Eisteddfod, which is a Welsh folk kind of like, oh, I'm going to describe this so badly. I'm sorry, every Welsh person out there who's just like, come on, Lurie. It's like a festival celebrating poetry and music, and the school's competing it. There's like a youth version. So we'd do like gymnastics competitions, choir competitions. There's a thing called Cydadrodd, which is where you all chant together. I don't, you speak a poem together, I guess, or speak a story together. And it's kind of weird, but also really like, ooh. So I guess those are my first kind of forays into that. Oh, and Mary, sorry, humble brag, Mary in the Nativity, of course, when I was very small.
Oh, you're one of them, are you? You're one of the people who play Mary in the Nativity. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently I stole the baby Jesus off Joseph because he was stealing the limelight. I don't know.
I've never understood the criteria for who gets to be Mary. I was always an angel.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't really remember. No. I think I was an angel the following year.
In playgroup, I was the Christmas tree on which the angel was on top of once.
Was the angel another child?
I think they were just standing on a chair behind me, so it's fine. You know, sticking their arms out over the top of my head. And I was a Christmas tree. That was great.
Oh my God, you've just unearthed a memory of when I must have been in reception or year one and we did a little nativity in front of the school. That's the only time I remember having proper stage fright because I could not remember my line at all. We all only had one line and we were all standing next to each other in front of the assembly and I just opened my mouth and did not know
That's horrible.
What I was meant to say.
The worst line forgetting experience I've had is we did a 24-hour rehearsal version of We Will Rock You, which is a Queen jukebox musical, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I played the villain, Killer Queen. Yes. And at the end, she comes out and has one little solo bit in, I think, in Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, in Bohemian Rhapsody, right? So that's the big ending. I'm backstage by myself and I'm about to go on and sing the famous line from the famous song. Everyone else is on stage and I suddenly go, what's the line? And not only is there no one around to ask, but I know for sure that every single person in that audience knows every lyric to Bohemian Rhapsody, except for me.
Oh, no.
I can't remember what I did. I just sort of...
Oh, Charmini, no!
Oh,
that's horrible.
I feel like you get some slack from having been up all night rehearsing, to be fair.
Oh, actually, yeah.
That sounds like a 24-hour rehearsal before an actual performance is a terrible idea.
Mm. It's a fun challenge, though. I love it because you can't spend too much time in it. You can't get it perfect and you still get all the fun of doing a show.
Was that in London?
It was a student. It was a student event, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, my God.
That was great.
The worst thing I've had, it wasn't so much a misremembering, but I did a Sondheim concert with these people and we took songs out, we put songs in, but one that always stayed was Not Getting Married Today. And I don't know if you know that, but it's like really fast patter song.
You can't mess that up. Yeah.
And once you start, you've got to keep going. And rest in peace, Sondheim, but oh my God. Verses 2 and 3 start with the word listen. It's either listen or they start very similarly. And I bloody started verse 3 in place of verse 2.
Oh, no!
And it's a different length. And I knew what I'd done.
You've just got to continue doing it.
But I was like, there is nothing I can do now. I just have to let the words come out. It was horrible. And we had to do it the next night again. And yeah, I just was alone side stage. And just sitting there rocking like, I can't, what's going to happen?
It was honey.
Awful. I don't know if anyone noticed because I kept speaking. Don't know what I was saying. It was coming out.
That is one thing that is very reassuring. Like the audience doesn't usually notice when you've made a mistake.
Well, actually, I think the kind of audience that we had were, because it was like a fringe thing, they were like Sondheim buffs. So they all know the song.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, well.
Okay, except for in that particular instance. All of the audiences are fine.
Yeah. They were very lovely audiences.
What about you, Liz? Have you ever taken to the stage?
No, not really. I did piano when I was, you know, young, and so I had to do the whole recital side of thing, but just piano. And then like some choir, but you know, then you're just singing with some people random songs assigned to you by the choir teacher. So nothing exciting in terms of performance.
Can you still play the piano?
Not only can I still play the piano, but I have one sitting beside me that you can't see. So I won't say poorly, but I'm fairly mediocre. Like, I got up to, like, I think grade 8 level, and then...
Liz, that's not mediocre.
Grade 8!
That's the highest grade!
Is that not the top you can get to?
But, like, you know, like, I'm not a performer. I'm not really much of a performer in terms of, like, some people rise to the occasion. I don't. I tend to...
sink somehow, yeah.
I tend to dive. So I do the thing where the bits that I've been struggling with, I manage to do, and then a bit that I've always been fine with, never had to practice much, is just, I'll stumble over it. And I don't really enjoy that sort of really high pressure.
Sure.
And I think also partly because I don't remember our school really having much in terms of, like, performance things. So if you don't really practice it, you kind of have, like, you know, this performance that you have to do once a year, which is to do your exams. Very stressful, so you don't really build up much of a taste for performance.
And of course you do it by yourself, right? So
all
you associate with it then is exams and not, say, pizza with your friends while you're in, like, the intermission or something like that.
Grade 8 mediocre. Jesus.
I mean, I wasn't passing, like, top of the class or anything. I just got to a certain level. And then I was like, well, you're either becoming a teacher or wanting to go into performance. And I was like, I'm not doing either of those. So I just have it for my own pleasure.
Oh, that's lovely.
Good.
Yeah.
So
I highly recommend having hobbies that are just for one's own pleasure and not necessarily monetized. Because, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely love that I had the lessons and everything. I guess there wasn't, like, going to be some career out of it, but that's actually true probably for most people that learn an instrument, right? Like, it's going down the career path is actually...
very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a hard path, so...
I don't know why I haven't gone into it. I've got, like, grade 5, so I could, like, easily, obviously, gone and become a, you know, professional.
Oh, same, kid. Same, yeah.
For some reason, it just didn't work out. Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, on that encouragement, I think we're going to go to a break. And welcome back. So we have talked about our first musicals. We've talked about the musicals that we may or may not have been in. Now we're going to talk about our faves.
Yeah.
Our favourite musicals. I'm going to ask someone else to start because I had about 12 come into my mind at the same time. So I can't actually start on this one. Sorry.
It's so hard to pick a favourite.
I know immediately. Like, you know, as with all favourites, it does vary, but consistently my favourite is The Last 5 Years by Jason Robert Brown.
Oh
my God, I love it so much. I want to be Kathy. Ooh. Why can't I be Kathy? Not in life.
What's it about?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a love story. Well, yeah, it's a story of a relationship. It's just a two-hander. It's just a man and a woman. And it documents their relationship over 5 years from... I was going to say conception, but, like, from when it starts to when it ends. But you see him travel from the beginning to the end. But she starts from the end.
And goes
back in time. And her opening song is, like, it's done, it's over. It's such a beautiful song. And then they meet in the middle and have this... And they're never on stage at the same time, or at least not in, like, the original production. And... they only have one song where they interact, or two technically, but they have one in the middle, which is, like, their marriage song. And then they go their separate ways and she gets happier and he gets sadder. And then at the end, they have, like, a little duet where they're not in the same place in the same time. But, oh, it's so good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's such a good concept.
It's fantastic. There is a film of it, which I have not watched because I just... maybe I'm being negative, Nancy, but I just don't want to... I just don't want to watch it. I just don't want to watch it.
I don't think you should watch it.
In case it's bad.
I don't think you should.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Or are you just like, I'm supporting this?
So I know a lot of the songs, but I've never actually seen Last 5 Years. But yeah, I'm also not super keen on watching the film. And I think, well, if I'm going to watch it for the first time, it should be on stage. That sounds really snobby.
Yeah. I think the first time I watched it, I think it's online is the first time I watched it. I think they did like an R&D of it or something, or like an early version of it. It's so good. Aww. It's just so good.
What about you, Sharmini?
Mine changes. You know, yeah. I mentioned earlier it used to be Wicked. Then that got replaced by Matilda. I really rate Matilda as a show. Absolutely fantastic. Really beautiful songs. Really clever. Lovely story. Really emotional. Again, just one of those like nice, perfect little packages.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm like, I really like modern musical theatre in general, and I really like how new shows come out and just sort of like change the medium and do new things with them. So I find it really hard to pick, to say what's your favourite musical, because it's such a musical is almost an arbitrary category.
Yeah. Right?
You know, what's your favourite comedy musical? What's your favourite serious musical? There's so many. So I think, yeah, like you said, Helen, I'm like, oh, I could list a whole bunch of musicals right now. This could be the just listing musicals episode of Enthusiasm. It'd be great.
We could take it in turns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just get a load of recommendations, and I'm sure the audience would appreciate that.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that I have, like, in terms of like right now this week, I have been singing the Encanto soundtrack just obsessively. I watched it just like a few weeks ago. It's on Disney Plus. Someone lent me their login, and I don't want to be like a massive Lin-Manuel Miranda fan person, but it's great. I love it. It's good. I like it.
I saw it last week and loved it. I cried, so like ugly crying at it. Like, it was, I loved it. And yes, I'm going to watch it again. I've only seen it once so far.
Liz, what's your favourite?
Oh, I think I'm like everyone else and probably have a list, which changes depending on the context. I really love Jesus Christ Superstar for various reasons, mostly Judas related. Because whenever there's a Judas.
I respect like, that.
Yeah, I love Carl Anderson and the film adaptation. And I also, there was the outdoor theatre, I can't remember what they're called.
Regent's Park.
Yeah. So they've got a Judas in that who is beautiful. And if anyone knows who he is, please message me on my...
You know, you could probably Google it, but...
I wanted to see Tim Minchin as Judas. Oh, I can't remember where that was.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't love that adaptation. Oh, no. I struggled.
Is it because you don't think he's hot and you're like, but Judas is hot though, so...
Judas hot? What are you talking about? That cannot have been it.
Sorry, Tim.
I mean, no, a lot of my rating of the productions are how hot the Judas is. So
I don't care about those top notes Jesus has.
Actually, because it was one of the Spice Girls, right? Her performance I quite liked.
Mel C?
Yeah. No.
Oh, good for her.
One of the ones.
Sporty.
The one who was in Blood Brothers.
Sporty was in Blood Brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was one of those moments where I actually enjoyed a Spice Girl, which they're not normally my thing.
Oh. I always enjoy a Spice Girl.
Last year there was Anything Goes with production, which was just amazing. It's just fabulous.
Was that with Sutton Foster?
I can't remember.
Oh, I love her. I love her so much. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Yeah, I can't remember. Whoever led it was just amazing. Mm. That was the Barbican, I think, or something similar. And then Sweeney Todd. Love Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Sweeney yeah, good is good. One.
I love all the big things.
I was just going to say, we haven't sort of mentioned enough Sondheim, I feel,
no.
yet.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah. Oh, that opening, I listen to that regularly with the big whistle, just the jarring. Oh, it's so good. But did anyone see the one with Michael Ball in it, playing Sweeney?
No.
So I was really like, what's he going to be like? But he was really good. And Imelda Staunton, I think it was.
Yeah,
as Mrs. Lovett.
Yeah.
The film of that was really nice as well. I really loved all the...
I liked the film of that as well.
What I really like about Sweeney Todd is that it's so difficult. It's such a hard musical to sing along to.
Yeah.
And you're like... And the whole time.
Oh, I love it.
And it goes from like, and the notes sound wrong, but they work.
Yeah.
If you try and sing it separately, you're like, this cannot be right. And then,
I can't remember the first bit of the line, but like when Sweeney goes, but not for long, like that. And it's like, that doesn't sound right, but it works with the instrumentation. And if you do it with enough, and then it's like, they all deserve to die. And it's hard. And then he just sweeps into the... Oh my God. I feel like people who don't sing I don't know if they appreciate how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And then the change, like anything that with a changing time signature or an unusual time signature.
Yeah. Timing's much harder,
I do like Lloyd Webber because so many of his songs just use a more of an unusual time signature.
Mm.
Yeah, anything that does that changing, more than, say, like a key change, because key changes for, like, pop music are very, very common. And I'm actually like, you know, you can see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, you can prepare for that.
Yeah.
But when you have to quickly go into a completely different tempo,
it's rough.
Yep. It's and like, you have to, like, really be in control of your breathing.
Mm. And as a listener, I think it's just, you know, your brain just activates differently when you're being given these different time signatures, these different tempos and ways that the chords are constructed.
It makes you listen differently.
Yeah.
Well, that was quite an interesting thing about the recent Disney Pixar films where Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton, has been doing the music. And they're definitely a little bit more complex than you might expect from a Disney film. And I'm thinking, like, the poor small children who these films are trying to sing these just slightly.
The generation of singers that are being bred because they're going to be growing up singing these really difficult or like things rather than just like someday.
That's how to make me cry at the start is like put on Moana and I'm like, Pacific.
Yeah, I cried at the beginning of that the first time I saw it as well.
Yeah, for me, it's like all that music is just, it reminds me of home. So like, I mean, not that England isn't home, but you know, that thing where it's like, you know, summers and the type of music you'd hear for different reasons. And so, yeah, I remember the first time I listened to it, I was like, I'm not crying, you're crying. Because I cry at the wrong moments. So I cried the start of War Horse. I just started crying and I was in the audience and I'm like, it's about war. The whole first half isn't about war.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, very accurate.
But I just immediately, because anything to do with war, I'm normally like, you know, waterworks. But but people hadn't come on stage. I was crying.
Just in anticipation. I like that.
Yeah.
I think I have an unusual choice, which is, it's like, I don't know if you'd call it like an independent musical. It's not like on Broadway or anything, but it's online. It's on YouTube, and it's called The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals.
Didn't like them.
That's the one! Hell yeah!
I still haven't watched this.
It's so funny, and yet, but the writers of it, they've done lots of other stuff, and they always have this thing of like, writing something that's very funny but still has a lot of heart, and you end up caring about everyone. And
wait, it's not Star Kid, is it?
It's Star Kid.
Yeah, it's Star Kid. It's Team Star Kid.
And I just love that all of their stuff, because one of the things I want to say is like, theatre live on stage is just out of reach for a lot of people. You can't go and see that. And
they plonk it all on YouTube.
Star Kids combo, yeah, like new stuff, like funny stuff, all available for free on YouTube. It's great.
My favourite one of theirs is the Batman musical. I love it. Have you like
Holy Musical Batman?
I like Twisted, so the sort of Aladdin spoof, which was very nice.
Oh, I didn't make it through Twisted.
Twisted was my favourite until The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals. Yeah.
And Starship as well, because Starship was like felt really sort of original, all about alien bugs.
I sing Kick It Up a Notch all the time. it's such a banger.
Get yourself going.
Good. His voice is amazing as well.
That's such a sexy song as well, even though it's a giant scorpion singing it, right?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh my gosh.
It's because it's the singer is Dylan something, right? And he's got such a powerful...
I was about to say Dylan Thomas, was like, no, Laurie, that's someone else. Yeah, his voice is just... beautiful.
I think we watched that. We watched that together once, actually. You've introduced it to the rest of Rusty Quill.
Yes. I think there has been at least two occasions where I've said, do you want to watch this thing with me?
Yeah. And to maintain the friendship, eventually you've just got to knuckle down and watch it.
This is what's expected of me. This is the hurdle.
It's happening. No. I didn't realise they had other productions out, so that's cool. I'll have to look them up.
Yeah. I think the one that made them big was the Very Potter musical, which I did love.
That was great.
And it's so long.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
And like, again, Hufflepuffs are finders.
But it doesn't feel long because it's online. You know, you're not watching it all in one go. It's sort of...
Oh, I am. But yeah, sure.
or you are possibly just watching it all in one go. But it's like you can do different things with stuff online, which I think is really interesting.
Yes, like you can control like all the camera angles and stuff like that, and yet, but there's still like a live, you know, orchestra or something. So one of my favorite things to look at is where in the shots you can see the pianist or something laughing along to the jokes. There's a very funny one in their show, The Trail to Oregon, where one of them just forgot his line and just said bum 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 in the middle of it. And you can see, and the guy he's saying it to is the one who wrote the musical. And he's just looking at him like, I can't believe you did that.
Oh, I might go and watch some Star Kid after this, actually.
Yeah.
But you're right, it is so good. It is amazing that it, like, because they are so good and just, it's all free. All free. Just
yeah,
watch.
The production is great.
Mm. Yeah.
With the more recent ones, the production is great. Mm. Like, obviously, the very pop musical ones, not so much, but it was early days of YouTube.
That's the joy of it, though.
But, like, it started as a student thing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because they all went to college together. Not that I was a huge fan about, you know, fangirl or anything. But, yeah.
I only started watching Glee because I was like, Darren Criss is going to be on Glee.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yes, Harry? This is the best thing that's ever happened. And then he appeared and he chopped all his lovely curly hair off. And I was like, what? This is...
What is this?
Awful. Where is the hair? I was only here for the hair.
But yeah, that's the one that I'd call my favourite. A guy who didn't like musicals. Because it's a horror comedy, which is one of my favourite genres anyway. And to make it a horror comedy musical.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very good. And also there's this song in it called Showstopping Number, which is exactly what it sounds like. It does indeed stop the show. It involves a professor doing intricate choreography and talking about how he'd always wanted to be on stage instead of being a chemist. Anyway,
yeah,
recommended.
Okay, I'll watch it.
It is fun.
I'm going to ask an even more difficult question now, which is if anyone has a favourite song from a musical. And I know.
You look so pained, Lowrie.
Lowrie's look of despair.
Wow. I quite like, I've always had a soft spot for Another Suitcase in Another Hall.
Oh, that is lovely.
From Evita.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Just that that melancholy.
Yeah.
And like just a woman getting by. Mm. And it's not the, you know, it's not the banging ones. It's like, it's not
like super tragic. It's very grounded, right?
No.
It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, this is life.
Yep. Not really falling in love, just having to move on as well. Like, yeah. No, I just really enjoyed that.
Interesting choice. I like that.
And then all the other songs.
And also,
I've listed about 50 songs in my, I'm just like, what?
So this might be coming out of left field, but I really like In Moulin Rouge, the arrangement of Roxanne.
Oh, yes, that's sexy. I used to dance to that all the time.
I'm going to be controversial and say that's the only good part in Moulin Rouge, the film.
Hot take.
At least we're agreeing that we like Roxanne in Moulin Rouge. We agree on that.
Yeah, I remember watching it going, this is the only time in this film where I haven't been just playing the music video for the original song in my head during the thing.
Oh, that scene with, what's her name, Caroline O'Connor, is it? Is it Caroline O'Connor? She's one of the baddies in it, right? Oh, just... Oh, it's so good. Sorry, I got really...
We were just watching you. Just everything. It was amazing.
The intensity.
Yeah. I love how much you care.
I just love... I'm very enthusiastic about musicals.
Good. It's what you're here for.
I'm going to just answer the question with like what's in my head again, which is just so biased because I saw Encanto recently, so everything. But like just from the very first time watching Surface Pressure from Encanto, I was absolutely blown away. There's not many songs that really like hit me like that on sort of first listening. You usually have to kind of listen a few times. Yeah, it's salient in my mind. There were lots of other good songs, but I felt that one in my heart. It's about that.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to watch Encanto, but that's purely because I don't really like animated films in general.
Oh my God. How do we communicate? Because I only understand animation. I don't understand these shapes before me that I can see on this call. There's just a blur of like forms.
Just light.
It's not outlined in animation.
No, like I still haven't seen like Finding Nemo, for example.
Oh, well, don't watch that.
There are no songs in that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No songs in that.
Encanto is like there's so many great characters. Like the strong lady, I was like, I love you. I love you immediately. Oh,
the yeah, apparently the merch is going out the doors for that
I
character
saw
as well.
That today.
And like Disney didn't want that character.
They didn't think there would be merch for the big muscly lady. They were like, here, have beautiful flower princess, and all the little kiddies are like, no.
And I was like, no, she's cool.
She is so cool.
I want big muscle lady.
she is so cool.
Larry, did you say your favourite one?
I haven't said my favourite song yet.
Okay.
Oh, bugger.
You can do this. We believe in you. Come on. Come on. You can do it.
I think...
Drum roll.
Oh, it's not going to be worth it.
No pressure.
Okay. What I've been singing a lot recently is Out of the Blue from The Wild Party, the musical, not the show, the play.
Hmm.
I love The Wild Party. It's such a good, crunchy musical. And that's really like...
I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go listen to Out of the Blue from Wild Party.
Do you know what? I haven't seen it, but I've listened to the soundtrack. It was one of those ones I just used to listen to on repeat.
Yeah.
Just, oh, it's so good. I immediately just thought of like another 12 songs, but
yeah.
But yeah, all of pretty much all of Kathy's track from the last 5 years.
I will put one out there for Sunrise from In the Heights,
just
oh because I really like the slow build of the song. It's very pretty.
The opening number of In the Heights.
Oh, yeah. Very fun.
Love it. Has anyone seen that film?
Not yet.
I haven't seen the film, but I saw it on stage.
I loved it. I loved it. I think it had bad reviews. I was like, that was just bloody fun and it's great.
We're starting to come to the end of our time.
No.
So I have one last question to round us off with.
Oh, gosh.
And that question is... what musical would you recommend to someone who had like never seen a musical before? Like what would be your ideal introduction? Because for me, it probably would be Moulin Rouge because it's pop songs that the person is probably likely to know, but done in a different way and with a narrative joining them all together.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's a lot, that film is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's very accessible.
And Baz Luhrmann's design, obviously, just...
it's a feast.
Just an absolute spectacle.
I think you've got to pick a genre that you already like. So if you like epic romantic films, or you know, then go see Moulin Rouge, because you know musical is like a medium, not a genre. So pick your favorite thing.
Mm.
That's a really good point.
Because some people might, you know, you might be like, oh, musicals, they take themselves so seriously, and then people suddenly start singing tragically. In which case, I'd be like, go see Six. It's like a pop concert with loads of puns and history jokes. Go see Six right now. And someone else might be like, oh, musicals, they're so like fluffy and silly and I just like can't take it seriously. And then I'd be like, go see Come From Away. Stop crying. And then
go see Parade.
Tell me you don't like musicals. Oh, don't watch Parade. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Mm. I would probably say if you're in London or somewhere like that, Jersey Boys, because it's very well constructed as a story. You know, the actual construction of the story is very good. And because it's that kind of pop music, which is like accessible to most people, because music is one of those things where you have your likes and dislikes. So I don't really like Matilda. Most people do, but I just don't like the way that it sounds.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like it just doesn't appeal to my senses.
It's different genres of music as well then, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think Jersey Boys was one that probably, you know, like it's something that you go to. And at the time I sort of went, oh, I mean, I'm not that big a fan of like Frankie.
Mm.
I think it's Frankie Valli.
Yeah,
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Yeah.
But it was just so well plotted.
Mm.
There was only like one or two moments where I was like, you weren't totally engaged.
Mm.
Or Anything Goes, once again, Anything Goes.
Classic.
It's just a load of fun.
Mm.
Yeah, just it's got that comic to it. So I think they're both very enjoyable.
And what about you, Lurie?
Yeah, the one I've just thought about is Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's got some heartbreaking stuff in there. It's funny. It's fantastical. Yeah, because before that, my answer was going to be watch a compilation video, because that's really what got me into it. I don't know if anyone else has seen Hey, Mr. Producer.
No.
Oh, doesn't matter. It's just a concert, basically. But yeah, I think Little Shop of Horrors is a nice one.
Yeah.
That's just reminded me that the one I would never tell someone to watch is Repo the Genetic Opera. Can you imagine that being someone's first introduction?
I don't think I know what that is.
No.
Oh, Lowry. Okay. So it's set in the near future where people's organs are failing and people like have to rent their organs, basically. And if you miss a payment, then the repo men come and forcibly repossess the organ, killing you in the process.
Wow.
Is that based on the film? Like, isn't there a Repo Man film which is similar?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I don't know if it's also on the stage.
Ah.
Then there's this whole plot about there is a particular Repo Man who has, like, this daughter and he doesn't want to let her out into the world and he tells her that she's sick, but she's not actually sick. He just, because he's a repo man, he knows how terrifying and bad everything is, and she gets out and she gets embroiled in this rich family, and there's the singer, and it's all very complicated and weird and dark and bizarre, and Anthony Stewart Head is in it.
Oh, I'm in.
Sold.
And it's a musical. I did not know that. Because I, when you started describing the plot, I was like, I'd not seen it, but I just assumed it was just a straight film.
No, there are songs. There are songs all the way through.
Okay, we have to watch that. Okay, we will be watching that at an undisclosed time and location. Wink, wink.
On the other hand, some people might not have seen a musical since they were in school. They might be thinking, oh, well, it's all The Sound of Music and all that. Yeah. It's really old-fashioned. Like, see some new, different, unusual stuff, because it might not be what you think. Although, if anyone has gotten this far through a podcast episode about musicals and they don't like musicals, they're like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's commitment. Appreciate that.
I'm going to take the opportunity to say thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Yay!
This has been a lovely little get-together, talk about our favourite songs and musicals and things. So thank you very much. And yes, indeed, thank you, listener, for coming with us on this conversation. Now, I will see you in the next episode. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. And it's goodbye from then. Does everyone want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I kind of want to sing The Sound of Music again because we started with The Sound of Music.
Goodbye. With The Sound of Music.
Oh, that's going to be great.
So you're welcome, good listener.
Amadeus, 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 Amadeus. That's all I've had in my head this entire time.
Really?
Like,
isn't it?
Yeah. No, because it's Dr. Zaius there, right? So it's Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. And then in the Amadeus. Yeah, anyway. Okay.
Let's stop recording, eh?
Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Lowry Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner, and edited by Marissa Ewing, Tessa Broom, and Catherine Rinella. Thanks for listening.